Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with an opportunity to come together on Sabbath with your presence. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. And thank you for letting us live in these days where we see your hand moving so often, as well as the prophecies being fulfilled. Thank you for guiding us throughout this study. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And thank you for letting you being glorified and not us. And please bless everyone on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that were put in the room, and thank you for letting us keep a stable connection, because we are having issues. We thank you for all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And I just did a check on the bandwidth. We're extremely low on the up end, so we're going to be dropping people left and right, and so just be patient. Hopefully they're working on it. I tried calling, and they said I'm number 7 in line, which means I'll be on hold for a minimum 85 minutes, and so I just hung up. Not going to deal with it. So at least they know there's a problem, because people are flooding them with phone calls. And no doubt with this so-called plandemic, they're on a skeleton crew. Because I just found out yesterday when I called my accountant, and then I had to call the bank, and they told me that the governor contacted every business in the state to tell them to shut down, you know, to close their doors. And so, because I was wondering how they were doing it, so I guess the governor sent out a letter to everybody and tell them, because I can't go do my taxes, I can't go in my bank, you know, I can't even go in there. Unless I have an appointment, and if I get an appointment, they won't even let you go in all the way. You got to meet them in the garage in the back of the bank, and they'll be wearing masks and gloves, and they ask us to do the same, but you don't have to. I says, yeah, well, if I was to come into bank, I'm not wearing any mask or gloves. It's, you know, I trust my Lord, you know, because I know what's going on. Anyway, last Sabbath, I was unable to finish the study we started regarding the importance of the Sabbath and the sanctuary and any attacks against it that are prophesied to be the norm of the last days, to the point most people actually think Sunday is the Christian Sabbath, when both biblical as well as historic record proves otherwise. And we know this. This is the norm for us. And there's not a single Bible verse, you know, from Genesis to Revelation to back up Sunday's Sabbath, and there's historic proof that not only was the Sabbath only changed by the Roman prelates in 321 AD, only the weak Christians in fear for their lives bowed to the demands of Constantine and the Bishop of Rome. This is before the Vatican, you know, or the Roman Catholic Church became a church and state, although it was obvious this is where they were going, because they had the ear of Constantine. He's the state, and of course the Bishop of Rome claims to be the first pope or whatever, or the leader of the church, but that was never true. And so they did this to keep Sunday holy, so as to bring pagans into Christianity, which actually was a lie. They were actually just forcing Christians to become pagans or die. It's kind of like what you see the SDA church doing when they were asked about why they have so many dozens of Sunday-keeping SDA churches. And they said, first of all, the general conference said it was no big deal. And then I made a video on that, obviously. And then the other thing was they said that it would allow them to bring in the Sunday-keepers to preach onto them. That's not how it works. You don't offer a false Sabbath. You don't start your gathering on a lie. But that's, you know, that's the excuse they gave, and the people that don't study their Bibles fell for it. And so, as we know by looking at all the signs fulfilled all around us on a daily basis, not just those signs students prophecy can see, in these days, and I praise God for this, but in these days even the scoffer is seeing things happen today. And these are the same people that laughed when we said they would happen. These things that are happening now would happen many years ago. They were laughing, and that's okay. Hopefully they're not laughing now, hopefully. So the choice will soon be placed before all the living souls on earth, as we know. The beast will seek to use force against those that won't make the decision to worship him right off. What I mean is, many Christians will declare openly that they're, you know, that they will not keep Sunday holy when Rome and the USA demand that they do so, when the calamities are puffed up in the media to look like it's out of control, like they're doing right now with this the common cold, and calling it a plan, you know, or a pandemic, but I call it a plandemic. I'm actually working on a blog. The Lord gave me something last night in regards to the pandemic is nothing. The COVID-19 is nothing but a New World Order test. That's all it is. To see if what they had on paper since 1968 with the Club of Rome, to see if they do something under one leader, we all know who that is, if they do something, will all the nations do will they obey and do all the same exact thing? And that's what's happening right now. Think about that. These are nations that don't even agree with each other, and you know they're at war in some areas, and they're doing exactly what their enemies are doing. Everybody's, you know, underneath, except like North Korea, and I think a couple others. And if they don't toe the line, you watch. There's going to be war there. They're going to have war. They're going to get annihilated. Just like any war in the last, you know, 7,500 years, they were all the end result of refusing to bow to the Pope. But Satan knows how to use force, and this is why the hand is mentioned here in the prophecy. You know what I mean is we started looking at last Sabbath, which, you know, in regards to the hand, it's in. Where it says in Revelation 7 verses 2 and 3. Revelation 7 verses 2 and 3, it says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the sea, rather the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads." And so everybody has that opportunity. Everybody has that chance to get, you know, the seal of God in the foreheads, or the mark of the beast in their foreheads. And if they refuse to get it in the foreheads, they'll definitely get it in the hand. So Satan will use force against God's people by removing their ability to buy and sell for their families, or even work, you know, so as to have the money to pay their bills. And they'll shut down their banks and stuff like that. They're already talking about making digital cash. You know, it looks like there will be a digital cash. When this whole thing blows over, they may drag it out until their so-called vaccine, who knows, or they could do it by May 1st. And it's no mistake that all this stuff is happening when a scheduled date for the Pope meeting with people on May 14th with the climate change thing. And the Pope has already said the coronavirus is the end result of climate change. So they're already doing exactly as we said they were going to do 20 years ago. But it's not because we prophesy, it's because we're just echoing what the Lord already said in His Word. And so that gives vindication unto our God, and it brings people in. And I praise His name for that, because they got to get in. They got to get into the truth. And so Satan's going to force the Christians that have businesses to close their doors, causing even their unbelieving employees to lose their jobs, which will put pressure in them, or on them rather, to you know, make decisions Satan hopes to force them into compliance with. And this is why you see the letters going out to even the small businesses in a little town like Fowler, Indiana. It's like 3,000 people. And I asked them, I says, you know, because they're all saying, oh, you can't, you have to do this by phone or whatever. I says, well, how did this all come about? I mean, did you guys are just doing this voluntarily? Said, oh, no. We all got, you know, the governor put his foot down. And so we know. This is the end times. We know this is going to happen in our lifetime now. And so, in fact, one can expect this is where families are going to split up, as we saw in Hitler's day. And it's that one executive order. I put that out there just that last video that I did, that little 3 or 4 minute video, or 1 minute video. Yeah, it was just Tucker Carlson talking about how the WHO is demanding that they can legally go into people's homes and take the sick person out and put them in isolation. You know, split up families. And that was already in an executive order that Roman Catholic President John F. Kennedy put in place before they killed him. And then Jesuit he was trained in Georgetown University, which is a Jesuit-run university. Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton, he gave a life onto those executive orders. And every president thereafter has ignored them. In other words, they stay on the books like it's a real law. but it was never passed as a real law. Never was. It's just like with, you know, income tax. There was never a law that says you had to pay, but, you know, try and stop and see what happens. So one can expect, this is where the families will split up, as we saw with Hitler, you know, with the brown shirts turning in their own parents, and the parents turning in their own children in some cases. But Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 21 to 22, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And you should be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." So we've got our warnings. We already know in advance what he's saying that we have to do and how to care for all this. I mean, the enemy of souls knows all too well how to pull on both the purse strings as well as the heart strings. And so situations like this, and much worse, will be presented to force the people into compliance. And this is why we're, the last couple of weeks, the Lord had us going into this Sabbath thing on our sanctuary study and the importance of it. I mean, keep in mind, when the mark is enforced, society will not look too much different than it is right now. Especially when people always have a tendency to forget yesterday's lies so as to readily embrace the new lies of today. I mean, case in point, just 2 months ago, the grand majority of the people out there knew that the mainstream media was mostly fake and no one believed anything that they were saying. Today, many now believe it when the media says their lives are in place are placed in danger. I mean, fake danger for the most part, yes, but the herd mentality is an amazing tool in such things. It's easy to see how this is all going down. So when the mark is about to be enforced, the norm will remain somewhat normal so as to make those following the Lord's will regarding the mark to come off as fanatics by most. I mean, even the strong Christian will be tempted to feel as if all this talk about calamities is true, and so they will decide to do as they demand to prevent loved ones from leaving their side. And yeah, and I've been saying for months, ever since this started, do you know anybody that's got the CV, you know, the coronavirus? No one says they do. Now, some have stated recently that they do, but out of 8 billion, we don't know 8 billion people. Let's just say, you know, I know just by the work that I do globally, I know thousands of people, and none of them have said anything. Someone said something in the stream last week that their one of their daughters had it, but we've already got evidence now that, and I just put a video on the site yesterday where a doctor exposed them for changing death certificates. And this isn't the first, there's dozens of these out there now. And so it's just going to get worse to some extent, but it's okay. It's okay. But look around. Who believes a report about the fake pandemic? No one around you does unless they study the Bible with you, right? No one believes it. They all think it's legit. And so even though all the hospitals are empty when they say they're full and they got caught with this, here's another thing. I'm thinking of putting up, well, I can't now because YouTube won't let me do community alerts, uploads, and the timing's obvious there. You know, because of what's going on now, and I've started doing the streams twice a week just for news reports. They're just making it so obvious that they don't like what we're sharing. But I was planning to ask, Kate, let's say some people say, because 95% still say they don't know anybody that has the coronavirus. I've yet to ask, do you know anybody that's died? And I know for a fact I don't know anybody, you know, that's died from it. And so we know that when they make the false claims that the calamities are way off the chart to pressure the leaders of the world to do what they did in the fake pandemic that we're going through now, and they will do so to prevent losing elections, you know that, you know, or going to war. This is why I see this as a test, because nations like North Korea, they're going to have to step up, and if they don't, they're going to have to get obliterated, just like what you saw with Vietnam or North Korea or any of these other or World War One and Two. If you don't bow to the Pope, you know. So most are going to believe the fake news, even though they don't see floods in their areas or quakes or other strange events in their own neighborhoods, unless of course there's a big die off of fish, and then the local news will finally report on it, because you can't get around the fact you step out of your house and everything stinks, and so they have to say something. And when they do finally enforce the mark, the calamities will, of course, then go off the chart, just as the prophecy said about the seven last plagues. I mean, it's, we know this. This is why it's so important to study, not just skim the surface and read your Bible, because it's just like with building your house on sand or building your house on the earth. You don't just brush away some twigs and leaves and put a house on top of there. No, you got to dig deep and put the foundation on the bedrock. And that's why the Lord used that analogy in the parable about building your house on the rock. And so again, those that can't see what you see regarding the prophesied reasons for the fake pandemic, these very same people won't see what you see when it comes to all the fakery, when it comes to the mark. And so this is an education for us as well. I mean, it's very easy to imagine how you will be ridiculed, you're going to be laughed at, you're going to be persecuted, even placed in very awful situations when they enforce the buy and sell portion of the mark. And since they're right now blaming Christians for the fake pandemic, they actually said that. They will definitely blame the Christians, what they call climate change disasters, because there's a bunch of articles out there now say it's the Christians' fault that we have so many people dying of the coronavirus. The media pushes that because the government tells them to. The people in our nation aren't doing this. You know, the overwhelming majority of the citizens aren't saying that it's the Christians' fault. No, the media does that because they want the narrative. They got to get to that point where the obedient Christians are the problem. So they have to plant the seed. They got to start the talking points. And this is the reason you see what's going on. So let's say you do refuse to go along and you lose your job or your business. Or what if Satan seeks to force you to buy things in ways that you think you need? One example would be if your faith is weak and trusting Christ to feed you during the time, as he promised to do in Isaiah 33:16, when he said, your bread shall be given him and his water shall be sure. Satan will dangle food right in front of your face to tempt you to purchase it. He will make you think this is your only way when you're extremely hungry or your child is crying. But in order to purchase the food, you must go along with the Roman mandate. He acknowledged the Sunday Sabbath, right? Thereby receiving the mark in the hand by doing so. You remember what Jesus said in Luke 17:33? He said this in Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, people that don't study the Bible have no clue what that means. What he's saying here is if you get the mark because you don't want to be killed on a guillotine, then you lose eternal life, your real life. You'll lose that. And whosoever will lay down on a guillotine shall preserve their life, their eternal life. You know, since we understand making the decision to accept Jesus as Savior as well as accepting his teachings and his law in the same as being sealed or marked in the forehead by Jesus as one who is saved or marked with a seal of approval by the Creator, we also have to understand that accepting the doctrines or teachings of the traditions of the Roman Church, you know, the Catholic Church, that's nothing but directed by men, 86.2% of it is paganism, and that's all men, traditions and doctrines of demons, and then they, of course, are directed by Satan himself. That would mean if you bow to their theology or if you acknowledge their anything, I mean, everything from their holidays to their Sunday Sabbath, then you know that, especially when you do the Sunday Sabbath, you accept the mark of the beast in the forehead, because the forehead is where you make your decisions. And so you've made the decision that, yeah, well, Sunday's the Sabbath, even though there's no Bible verses to back it up, which means you're putting mankind's opinion over God's written word. And also understand, there will be those that aren't Catholic or even Christian, but they will do it as the beast commands for fear of death or loss of their livelihood for not being able to buy or sell anything unless, of course, he or she had the mark. They don't look past their nose. They only see their daily lives. They don't realize, because they haven't studied prophecy, that this mark of the beast thing only lasts, you know, the plagues fall within a day. They don't realize that when they make that decision, they've got less than a year to live now. Whereas the people that don't get the mark are going to have an eternal life. But they don't know that because they don't study their Bible. So those that fear losing their ability to buy and sell will be making the decision to accept the fake religious laws of the beast over and above the true commandments of the Lord. And some people say, well, it's kind of scary. I don't want to die, but I'll just deal with it and die because I know when I die, I'll end up waking up in hell. Well, not in hell until, you know, you get that little season of life. But they actually think they're going to wake up and then because let's say they heard some of our sermons in regards to hellfire and find out that, okay, you just, most people are just going to be like a vapor. They're going to burn up and turn to ash instantly, whereas the other ones that persecuted the Christians, you know, the homosexuals to the popes, they're going to burn a little longer. The demons, of course, are going to burn real long, and then Satan's the longest one to burn. But what the people don't realize is, if you decide not to die when the mark is enforced, because that's the only choice you have at the time, let's say they've got you and they're laying you on a guillotine, and the final question is asked before the blade drops, if you decide to get up off that guillotine, you don't seem to realize that when you wake up at the end of the 1,000 years, this whole thing's starting all over for you again, because a little season can be decades. Because a season is a lifetime, but a little season could just be decades, because that's all going to, everybody's going to raise up, and then Satan has to redeceive and get everybody used to the fact that they have to surround the city, you know, New Jerusalem, which is now on planet Earth. 1,000 years later, it descends. 1,000 years later, not at the second coming, you know, with that secret rapture fall or all. And so these people that stepping back, going back to the fear of losing their ability to buy and sell, and they go ahead and, because their kids crying or they got to have their cars and candy bars, these will be those who receive the mark in the right hand because they're forced against their will. They don't want to keep or acknowledge Sunday as this. It's like a Muslim's not going to want to do that. You know, the Jews have already done it. In fact, they passed a law a few years ago that says you can actually break the real Sabbath. Yeah, I got videos and radio things on that. So these will be those that, the ones that get in the right hand, because they don't want to go along with it, but they know they don't want to lose their ability to, have money, let's say. Their forehead isn't marked, because they did not decide to agree of their own free will. They were forced into compliance. They don't want to lose their livelihood, and because of the global boycott. And if you don't think a global boycott is possible, now you do. Just by looking at what they did with the coronavirus thing, you now know that every nation on the planet's going to do it. Now you know that the prophecy's legit. It's real. It's going to happen. And so that will eventually force many to go along with the laws of the beast, the global boycott, especially the rich who have never learned to trust the Lord in the first place. I mean, if you look at Luke chapter 18, you see it. I mean, it really is hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom because they put their faith in their cash. And so this is why society is based on debt today. It allows for greater control and temptation on the people. When the people are threatened with losing their ability to keep up their bills and lose their mortgages, their cars, and other creature comforts bought with credit, they will easily be forced to go along with Rome's mandate if they never learn to trust Christ as Lord, and especially if they still owe money on their car, because they know it's going to get repoed. And they're going to say, oh, we're sitting here dead in the water. We can't even go anywhere. We can't make phone calls. Phones are turned off. Can't even stay in our house to mortgage. We can't pay. Let's say the house is paid off. Some people think, oh, you could stay in the house now. Yeah, well, maybe for about a year. Because we don't know how long the buy and sell is going to go down. And why do I say a year? Well, you got to pay your taxes every year on the property, right? So they can raise or you can pay your taxes 10 years in advance, let's say. Well, then they can easily just raise the tax $1. And you can't pay that, unless you get the mark. So using debt to buy things guarantees the powers that be that they can control you. For if everyone bought things outright and had no debt, they wouldn't have any bills to worry about, and then they wouldn't have that control over us. Now, they don't really have control, because you can literally say, yeah, take the car, take the house, I don't care. But some people can't do that. Some people just can't do that. So now do you see why the private companies, most people think is a government company? It's not actually a government entity. It's called the Federal Reserve. Now do you see why it was invented? Look at the dollar bill. It says right on there, it's a promissory note. It's based on debt. It's not based on gold anymore. It's just based on debt. The true Catholic or Sunday or Sabbath-keeping Protestant Christian that accepts these unbiblical doctrines of demons created in Rome will receive the mark on the forehead, because they already made the free will decision that their church is correct in replacing scriptures for traditions of man and doctrines of demons. So summing it up, if you receive the mark by choice, this means you made the free will decision that the traditions of man are above the scripture. as the Pope and all Sunday keeping pastors keep teaching. That's why Jesus said there's many false prophets, because that's one of the definitions of prophets, declaring doctrines. And if the doctrine's not in the Word and they still acknowledge it as a doctrine, then they're a false prophet. The only way the doctrine can be in the Word is if it's backed up by old light, because new light never contradicts old light. Therefore, you know, those get it in the forehead. And we all know what the Vatican said in regards to them, calling Sunday their invention. I have actually, and I'm going to read these again because you've heard these many times. I just got these two short quotes from the Vatican where they actually use the word mark, because it is a sign, seal, or signature of Rome, because all the, let me just read them. This first one's from the Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons, and, you know, cardinals are the next in line for being a pope, so they're a prelate. So, of course, it says, of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change of Saturday Sabbath to Sunday Sabbath was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. And then this other one's from the Catholic Record of London in 1923. That's 6 years before they get their power back, you know, their church and state thing. They said, Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. And so they actually have some validity here in saying that, in their own minds, obviously, because it's not biblically. Oh, thanks, Sean. He put it in the room there. And the reason I say they have validity is because every Protestant church keeps Sunday holy. And the Seventh-day Adventist church keeps Sunday holy now. And the Jews keep Sunday holy now, and even have a law to say you can break the real Sabbath in Tel Aviv. And so that does give them the mindset that they really are above the Bible, because everybody that's outside the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church never agrees that the Bible is, they call it a dead letter, a dead and speechless book. They got a lot of bad terms that, you know, for the Bible. Somebody, Words of the Beast page, I got probably a dozen quotes from them slamming the Bible. But for all the Protestants to say that they're protesting Rome, yet they're keeping Sunday holy, means they're not really protesting Rome, and that's why they're going back in. They finally realized, look, we've been keeping a Sabbath that Rome invented, because it's not in the Bible. And so that's why they claim to be above the Bible, is because they look at the Protestant and even the SDA people that claim to follow the Bible only, yet they're keeping Sunday as the Sabbath, which is actually a law written on Catholic dogma. So let me see if I can jump down here. I'm not going to go through all that because we're getting late here. But because I got a bunch of more quotes here. I'll still put this in the sanctuary study, so that those that like to, because it is online now, the sanctuary study, but I haven't put this online, obviously, these notes. So, but anyway, the beast, the Roman beast, and all the Sunday keeping preachers claim that they can bless Sunday as the Sabbath, a day God never blessed from Genesis to Revelation. And because most people don't study their Bibles, they don't even know a verse like Numbers 23:20 is even in the Bible, which says, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. But yet they think they can reverse it. The Bible has blessed and sanctified, the Lord has blessed and sanctified the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath. Mankind thinks he can reverse it. But the only way to do that is to get God off his throne. Because where he sits, the mercy seat, is the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And what's inside the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments. So the only way Satan can really change the law of God is to kill God, open the lid, grab those tablets, destroy them, and make new ones. But he knows he can't do that. He knows he's already dead. I mean, his native tongue is to speak in reverse. That's why backward masking works so well. Spell devil backwards, lived, is what it is. And so he already knows he's past tense. And so he has to, since he knows he can't destroy Christ or even kill his father, he knows that he has to make humans think he has superseded God's law by using the pomp and circumstance of Rome, acting like they're all holy. You got to be kidding me. Give me a minute. My stream server just got knocked offline. Hopefully we weren't hacked. But let me start it up again, because all these people in there are going to probably think, where'd you go? Because we had, it was showing 200 kilobits. Let me yank it out of here. It was showing 200 kilobits. No, they won't even let me do it. It's saying it's all right. Because I was just, as a matter of fact, I was just thinking about getting another. Okay, I got to go into Task Manager to shut it down in the background. And I'm going to have to switch into that computer because I can't do this with that little dinky monitor. Right, let me see if I can find a blank spot on this taskbar to get the taskbar to light up. Nope, that ain't going to do it. There we go, Task Manager. Hey, where is it? VU meter? No, that's the VU meter. It's not even showing running. Oh, there it goes. Okay, good. I got it out. All right. Let me start it up again. And it should be running now. Okay, yeah, everybody's filing back in. Okay, we're good. All right, let me... So now I know why the Lord was moving. Look for another streamer. I found a website that shows 11 ways to stream out. Free software kind of a thing. If I have to, I'm going to buy the software. Like I did the last stuff, I used Broadwave, and I bought that, but it got hacked, and so I'm not using that again. Because they never updated. It was from 2005 or something like that. Okay, so getting back. Numbers 2320. And I'm sorry for those of you listening on WTPR. Thanks for coming back. The stream crash. And see, this is why I keep these monitors on during church. Because I just threw up a little warning on the screen. And so everybody's, well, half the people are back. We're at 100 kilobits, so that's... Because I already did the math this morning. It's around 35 people, families. And it was 60-something a minute ago. It was over 200 in kilobits. So anyway, Numbers 2320, it states, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it." And so, but the Pope says he can, and that's just another thing, that just another... characteristic of Antichrist, and it's, I think this is, I have this on my characteristics of Antichrist page in regards to him claiming this ability. So, but did you notice how this verse easily proves, though, that no one can change or transfer anything that the Almighty makes holy? It is sheer demonic arrogance of mankind to think they can make anything holy. I mean, seriously. Even Elijah, a prophet, who never even die, or Enoch, who didn't die and ascended into heaven. You know, these guys couldn't even make anything holy. An angel can't make anything holy. Only the creator of the angel can do it. Only the creator of mankind can do it. And then let alone remove holiness, because they took the holy, well, they claim to have taken away the holiness. And look what they're doing in Uganda, not in Uganda, where was this? Grenada. In Grenada, somebody sent me an article, actually a couple of people sent me the article, more than a couple maybe, that they shut down all the stores and say you can only go shopping for food on Saturdays. And then they said, and this does not go against any religion. That's a bold-faced lie. There's Sabbath keepers in Grenada. And so you see they're testing the people right there to see how they'll react, even before the buy and sell goes down. So, you know what this all means, by the way. The latter rain's about ready to fall. Pretty soon, with what they're doing, it's going to fall real soon. So you got to be ready, and the only way you're going to be ready, see, the Lord's going to look down upon you. And if he doesn't see his people being ready, or you being ready, he knows somebody down the road's going to be ready. And he'll just go there. And so, but check it out. I'm going to close with this. In the year 1900, that's 29 years before the mortal wound started healing, when Gasparri and Mussolini got together in the Lateran Palace and signed that pact where the Vatican became a sovereign state again, which then made it a church and state again. They said this from Australia. This is from the Catholic Press in Sydney, Australia. In August of 1900, it said, Sunday is a Catholic institution, and its claim to observance can be defended only on Catholic principles. From beginning to end of Scripture, there is not a single passage that warrants the transfer of weekly public worship from the last day of the week to the first. They admit this in writing, and they actually put out a pamphlet. I put this pamphlet on my website as well, on the Rome Things to Change Times and Laws page. It's called Rome's Challenge to Protestants, and this is what the Protestants to start bowing to Rome again. Because they said, we admit it, we changed the Sabbath, which proves we're above the Bible because you're keeping it. and because no one studies their Bibles. Well, none of their leaders study their Bibles, let's put it that way. That's a little easier way of saying it, because there's millions of wolves out there now. Now, there's a lot of people in those churches that are studying their Bibles, and Revelation 18 is pretty clear. They're his people. He says, my people. And they're coming out, and they're going to be one with us, I'm sure, one day soon, if not already. And so, don't pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.